I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher today Mr. Matthew Eccles. Matthew is a licentiate of Presbytery. The evening service at 7 p.m. preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the preacher will again be Mr. Matthew Eccles. Tomorrow, Monday night at 7 p.m, the children's meeting recommences, and on Thursday at 8 p.m, the prayer meeting with the Reverend Marcus Leckie. Next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and the preacher will be Mr. Greg Gibson, who is a final year student at the Whitfield College. And a reminder of the harvest services on Friday the 29th with the Reverend Patrick Baker, and Sunday the 1st of October with the Reverend Paul Thompson and the Reverend Stephen Nelson. And there's a list on the hall table. We're thinking of having a cup of tea after the Friday night meeting, so there's a list on the hall table for those that can help with the catering. Thursday the 28th of September, the prayer meeting will be taken by Mr. Noel Shields, and it will be a deputation meeting. And the ladies of the congregation are invited to a ladies' conference in Dungannon Church tomorrow night at 8 p.m, and the speaker will be Mrs. Vi Dawson. And then the 6 Mile Cross ladies' meeting is invited to attend Cookstown Ladies' Fellowship on Monday the 9th of October at 8 p.m. when it will be a testimony from Mrs. Janice Davison. There is an RSE protest rally organised in Morris Memorial for Saturday the 30th of September at 7 p.m. and the speaker is Callum Webster from the Christian Institute. And tomorrow night as well in Martyrs is a service of ordination and installation for Mr. David Wilson, who is taking up the call for the ministry in Ballyclare Free Presbyterian Church. And I think that's most of it. Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Begin our service this morning by singing the words of the Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1, you'll find that on page 5 of your hymn book. Psalm number 1, I'd just like to say it's a great privilege to be here with you today in 6 Mile Cross, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we gather around his word and as we fellowship together. Psalm number 1, let us stand as we praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's bow together in prayer, and we'll seek the Lord now, and we'll ask for his blessing, even upon our service. Our God and our Father, we come into thy presence this morning, humbly and reverently, in the name of the Saviour. We do rejoice in him who loved us and gave himself for us. We do thank thee that he was the appointed one to bear the sins of his people. And for so long that mystery had been hidden. And yet in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came forth, born of a woman, ready to do that work of redemption in behalf of his people. And Lord, we thank thee for the cry upon the middle tree of Calvary that it is finished. We thank thee that Christ has purchased all blessings for his people, even by the shedding of his own precious blood. When we see him there, we realize that he offered a sacrifice that we could never offer. He died a death that we could not die. And Lord, then we're thankful in our hearts that he was willing, that he submitted himself even unto death. And Father, we thank thee then today that we serve not one that has died and has never appeared again, but we serve one that has risen unto life. We serve one that has ascended on high and is the great King of his church and King of the nations. Thou hast told us in thy word, yet have I set my King on my holy hill of Zion. And we rejoice then that Christ is on the great throne of his glory, that he ruleth his people, that he worketh all things after the counsel of his will, and all things pertaining to his honour and his glory. And we rejoice then that he is one who remembers his people and loves his church and has a great vested interest in her activities and in her progress in this world. And so, Father, we're thankful this morning that Christ cares for the flock and Six Mile Cross. We thank thee that he has been faithful down through the years, that he has met the need, that he has extended the borders of his kingdom. And even in these days, when we see our nation further departing from God and further getting away from thy law and further denouncing Christ as the great sovereign, we thank thee that even here there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And Lord, I pray that even this day, as we set ourselves aside to worship thy name, that our hearts would be blessed, that our hearts would be taken away from the things of this world and the thoughts of this world and the cares of it, and may they be stayed upon God and upon God alone. O Lord, thou hast told us in thy word to gather in such a manner, to sing unto thee, to read thy word, and even to hear it preached. And so, Lord, I pray that thou would bless the things that thou hast ordained in thy word, that thou would even send thy spirit into the midst of us today and flame our love for Christ, that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth. And even as the psalmist prayed of old, that thou would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things from thy law. And so, Lord, I pray that thou would teach us thy way, teach us thy word. Help us, O God, to be those that are faithful to thee and will walk with thee even in this day in which we live. May we be transformed even by the word today, that we would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would live more and more unto him, that there would be that daily death unto sin in the world, and that living more and more unto righteousness by the power of his resurrection. And so, Lord, I pray, bless our hearts. May we remember this day where the Lord came again and visited us with his power. Lord, we think of those that are perhaps not saved. Oh, that thou speak to them today, that in thy wrath thou would remember mercy, and that thou, O God, would draw them irresistibly to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would see the great sufficiency of him to take away all of their sins and to bring them into the fullness of the blessings of the gospel and of the blessings of the life to come. O Lord, we rejoice even as we think of that, and that we ever look toward glory, that our citizenship is in heaven, and one day we shall be with thee and dwell with thee forever. But Lord, help us then to come to the house of God today with that great hope in our hearts ever set before us of what Christ is going to do for his people and he's going to do for his church. And Lord, we do pray for the work here in Six Mile Cross as a whole, that thou, O Father, would continue to bless every effort and every outreach and every activity of the brethren and sisters here. Oh, may they know the hand of God upon them. And may they know, O God, the privilege of pointing boys and girls, young people, other people as well, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that thou would fill every seat in this house, pack it to capacity with those that have known the Lord Jesus and all that he offers, even in the gospel. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art able to do this, thou art able to move even in these days, thou art able to bring a people in for thy glory. And so, Lord, we leave this with thee this morning. We do remember those that cannot be here in the house of God. We think of the shut-ins. We think of the sick. We think of those that are heavy at heart this morning. Oh, Lord, I leave this all in thy hands. We thank thee that thou art a God who understands the infirmities of his people and understands their weakness and their sickness and all of these things. And I pray that they would even know encouragement in their soul as they consider thy word and as they consider thee and all that thou art to them. And so, Lord, draw near to them. Help them, I pray of thee. Give them the spirit of peace and the spirit of comfort. And so, Lord, I pray that thou would even gather with us now. We do thank thee that Christ the King is in the midst of his people, that he is not ashamed to call us brethren, and that he's not ashamed to even be in the midst and to lead our praise, and he's not ashamed even to speak to us through his precious word today. So undertake now for us. Continue with us. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 532 will be our second hymn this morning. And 532, found on the page 391 of your hymn book, above thine own ambitions here and other voices sounding clear, it is the call of God to thee. O leave thy all and follow me. Hymn number 532, and again we'll stand as we sing. Thank you. Turn with me this morning for our scripture reading to the book of Joshua and the chapter number 8. Book of Joshua and the chapter number 8. Joshua chapter 8, we want to begin our reading this morning at the verse 1, and we'll read right down to verse 12, and we'll skip down the chapter, and we'll read a few verses at the end as well. But Joshua chapter 8, beginning our reading this morning at the verse number 1, and there we read in God's word, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof, shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us, as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush, and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you." Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh, and came before the city, and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and they took about 5,000 men, and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. We'll just go down to verse number 30 of this chapter. Of course, we know very well that Israel were successful this time as they went against Ai. Their ambush worked and they overthrew the city. And so we come to the end of the chapter and we see here the children of Israel come to a place of worship and set themselves aside to praise the Lord. And we read in verse 30 and right to the end of this chapter, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Oh, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Amen. We know and we trust this morning the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word. At this point in our service, we're going to have our offering hymn. It's the hymn number 546. Hymn 546. You'll find that on page 396 of your hymn book. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, looking on to Jesus, who is gone before. Hymn 546, and please remain seated while your tithes and your offerings are collected for the work of God here. Remainder of the hymn, please.
Thank you.
If you turn with me again to the book of Joshua and the chapter number 8, and I just want to read that opening verse of that chapter again. So Joshua chapter 8, and reading again the verse number 1. And there we read, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." And let us bow together in prayer again, and we'll seek the Lord now before we come to the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God, we thank thee already for thy blessing upon us this morning. We thank thee for the enablement to sing thy praise, to come and to uplift thee in all of thy glory. Lord, I pray now that thou would glorify thyself in the preaching of thy precious word. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be preeminent, that he would be exalted in all of his glory as well. For he is the one that has purchased all things for the good and for the edification of his bride. So undertake now, we pray of thee. We pray that thy Spirit will come and give us understanding and give liberty even in the preaching of thy word, that we may leave this house uplifting thy name again, knowing that thou hast spoken to us even in this service. So bless us now. Undertake, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Something you'll see is a very great difference when you come to the book of Joshua between chapter 7 and chapter number 8. Chapter 8 is a chapter where there is victory, where the Lord glorifies his name in the midst of his people, and as they go forward and go to war, they defeat the people of Ai. Ai was not a new foe. It was not a new challenge unto the army of Israel, because they had faced them before in Joshua chapter 7. And rather than there being victory, rather than there being praise, there was sorrow, there was death, there was defeat. There were all of these things, and we know very well that when we come to chapter 7, Israel even fled before the men of Ai. They had known their enemies having victory over them. And we know very well how Joshua went before the Lord, and he cried unto him, and he lamented at the fact that they had fallen before their enemies, because what happens in Joshua chapter 7 seems to be so contrary to what God had told Israel before. He had told them that none would be able to stand before them. He had told them that they would have a great victory as they conquered the land of Canaan bit by bit. And yet they come now before the Lord, and they say, "Lord, rather than being a victorious people, we are a defeated people." Joshua asks the Lord this question: "Have you brought us over the Jordan that we would be destroyed?" He says, "Lord, if we fall before our enemies, what will you do for your great name's sake? Because they will see your people defeated, and they will wonder then about thy name and about thy ability to defeat thy enemies and defeat the idols of Canaan." Now, we know very well what happened there. Sin had entered into the midst of God's people. There was the presence of one who had rebelled against the Lord, and therefore we know that this army could not stand before any enemy, because God was showing his people here, "I will never bless you if sin is in the midst of you." So what a vital lesson they learned as they come now into another chapter in Joshua chapter 8. You see, in Joshua chapter 8, there is a great lesson for Christian people. Because there are many times in our lives where we will sin against the Lord, where we will fall as we try to live in obedience to his word. There are many times we will act or think or speak in a way that is not acceptable and is not in conformity to what the Lord commands. And yet we see Israel, in the midst of their failure, stepping out and knowing the blessing of God again. And does God not teach his people? Yes, though, there may be times in your life where you fall. There may be times in your life where you grow cold. There may be times in your life where you will do things that will affect and even ruin your testimony. And yet it is possible, in the midst of all of that failure and sin, step back onto the Christian walkway and to live that life of victory. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is that the life you're living? Life of victory. Life where you're walking with the Lord, though it may not be perfect, but it's a walk in sincerity before him. And you seek to live for him. And you seek to please him. But maybe there's a Christian in here this morning, and in your life, all of a sudden, there is the presence of sinful habits. You've fallen into a particular sin. And time again, as you go out into your working week or your week where you go to school or wherever the Lord has you at this time, you seem to be falling into that same trap time and time again. You're sinning against the Lord in that area of your life. And I tell you what's began to happen. One is you began to fall into the bondage of that sin. And another thing that has happened is your conscience is becoming seared. And what that means is, it seems to be it's getting easier for you to live in that way before the Lord. And I ask you the question then, where does this lead you? Where will this take you in your life? Because I say that there is this area in your life, and you know very well this morning as you're in the house of God that you need to get this dealt with and you need to get this under control. Because you cannot live with God if you're doing that time and time again, and there is sin that is constantly present in a certain area of your life. But let me speak to a believer here this morning, and maybe you say to me, there's a time in my life where I fail greatly. I fell into very serious sin that was very public. People know very much about what I did and what I got up to. People know the act that I committed. It affected my testimony. It affected my stand before God. It affected me and my family life, perhaps. It affected my friendships. There was a time in your life where you fell greatly before the Lord. Now you come to the house of God this morning and you say, I repented of that sin. I got myself back on track. I got it dealt with. Yes, the Lord has dealt with me bitterly. But I've got myself back onto a good path again and I desire to walk with God. But maybe you come and that sin keeps rearing its ugly face against you. You say to me that there isn't a day in my life where I don't think about it. You say at times it ruins my joy and it ruins my desire to walk with the Lord. And yet, what does the Lord say to you this morning? He says you've repented of it. He says you've dealt with that sin. He says, I remember it no more, so why are you living in the shadow of it? Because if the Lord has forgotten about it, the Lord tells you, you need to get to a place whether you no longer let this rob your joy. You no longer let this hinder you in your walk with me. Yes, there have been implications in your life about this, but the Lord says you can walk that path of victory. And you can walk with me in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. And the Lord gives his people time and time again renewed opportunities. And we come here to Joshua chapter 8 and we see the call, the command of the Lord in verse 1. He says to Joshua, Israel's leader, he says, arise, go up to Ai. He says, it's time for a renewed effort. It's time for action again. I want you to go against this familiar foe that you faced before. He says, arise, go up to Ai, and here's the difference this time. I will give that city into your hand. It's king its land, its people, it will all be yours. He says essentially, arise, step out from the shadow of failure and step out into victory. And that's the call of God to us this morning. As we ever look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded that our sins have been dealt with. And the Lord says to us time and time again, though you fall, though you faint, he says, repent, confess, and there is pardon continually with me. It's essentially saying to us, let us continue to step out from failure and step forward into the victory of the gospel. And that's what I want to speak about this morning and the time that remains to us. I want to think of this theme, stepping out from failure. There are two things I want to say about this. The first thing I want you to see here when we think of these words in Joshua 8, I want you to see the hindsight that is required. It has been said that hindsight is the best foresight. So often the Lord uses the failures of his people to teach them how they ought to act in the future. The Lord even uses the failure of his saints in scripture in order to teach us. You know very well when you read about the life of Abraham, the life of Jacob, the life of Moses, the life of Joshua, the life of all of these saints, time and time again, the Lord lets us see it all because we see these men fall. In Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And so the Lord says, as you look at these saints and you see them fall into sin and you see what leads up to that fall, the Lord says, learn from this. Learn how to apply these things to your life. Learn how to not go into those pitfalls of sin that they have fallen into. The Lord says, you ought to learn. Not only from them, but learn from your own experience. Learn to act a better way and in a certain way in the future. That is a hard process for Christian people. It's a hard process for me to meditate upon my life. And to know very well that we're falling into these areas of sin. But so often the Lord says, this is what's happening in your life and this is why it's happening. And I don't know what it is in your life. What is causing you to go that path that is leading you astray, whether it's company you keep, whether it's television shows you watch, whatever it is, the Lord wants to teach you. It's time for that to go. It's time to walk in a path that is acceptable before me. But we come to Joshua 8, and there are two things the Lord wants to teach his people here specifically when it comes to this hindsight that is required. The first is that they must always know the mind of God. Joshua chapter 8, something that is certain for the leader of Israel and therefore the people of Israel, is that they knew the mind and the will of God. You notice the language here that is used in verse number 1 that says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. And so the Lord here is speaking. He's speaking to his servant and he's making known his mind and his will. And we see it again in verse number 18, this constant theme. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. So the Lord is speaking, the Lord is directing, and the Lord is leading. And in verse 8, Joshua commands the people, and he says they're to do everything moving forward according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. You see very clearly what is happening here. They knew this is what God wants of us. The step that we are taking in our lives now is most certainly the will of God. And that is something that we must contrast with Joshua chapter 7, verse 2 to 5. If you'll turn with me there. Joshua 7, verse 2 to 5. Let us read it together. And I want you to see something here that comes out by implication. Joshua 7, 2 to 5. And we read these words. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, or the east of Bethel, and speak unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 30, and six men. Now, what do you notice here? We notice here that there is plenty of counsel between Joshua and his men. He sends spies out to Ai to view the country, and they speak about a plan, and they speak about tactics that they're going to use as they go and face this city again. We see all of these things that are good in everyday and ordinary life. One thing we don't see here is consultation with the Lord. Not once do we see them praying. Not once do we see this, what we see in Joshua chapter 8, that the Lord spoke. The reality is they stepped forward and they did not know the mind of God, because they did not know at that moment that God was angry with them. What a lesson this is for the people of God. In every step in life, let us know what the Lord wants us to do. Because when we step forward not knowing the mind of God, you can be sure you will be outside the will of God. And so we must always know the Lord's mind in the next step. And so I ask you, when you plan ahead, when you ponder the future, do you ask that all-important question, what does the Lord want here? What is his mind for my life? Because it's very easy for us to think ahead and to talk with family and to do all of these things, and yet the last person we speak to is the Lord. And the last question we ask is at his will. And sometimes things might seem sensible. We think in our minds when we reason it out, well, that seems to be a good step. But if it's not God's will, it's not sensible at all. This is vital and important. We must always ask the question, what does the Lord want? Because if we do not, we will step outside as well. Let me apply this to young people in the meeting this morning. We know that young people face many decisions. They go to school. They have subjects to pick. They're thinking about university. They're thinking about the future. Some of them are thinking about, well, who am I going to marry? All of these things. I say to you, in all of the decisions that you have to make in life, ask the Lord what he wants. Because the Lord will not withhold from you any good thing. He will not withhold his best for your life. I say that to anyone in the meeting this morning. Maybe that is something that is happening in your life right now. You have decisions to make. You have things that you have to decide in the near future. I say, have you asked the Lord? Have you sought his mind and sought his will? And where will you find the will and the mind of God? You will always find it in his word. And that is so important. For one thing, we know that we must never do anything contrary to the word. So if you're about to take a step in life or make a decision that is very clearly contrary to the word of God, that makes you compromise it, well, then it's not God's will. It's simple as that. But there are times in our lives where we must act upon the principles of the word. And let me think of a verse with you in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. A verse I'm sure we know so well. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, we see here that we're not to be conformed to this world. It has this idea of worldliness. We're not to be a worldly people. And so how are we not to be a worldly people? It says that we are to do that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And how do we know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? The Bible says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let me put it this way. When we come to the Word of God, what happens? The Holy Spirit transforms us. That is, he comes and he gives us understanding as to what this book says. You see, if we come to the Bible with our intellects and with all of our genius, we will never master it, never. We will not understand one word that it says. But when we come with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he transforms us, he renews your minds. What does that mean? It means he illuminates the scriptures. We could say he brings light to them. And he transforms us. And he fills us with the knowledge of God and of his ways and of his word. And what happens when you have a decision in life? You begin to read the word of God. And when you learn its principles, and when you learn of its ways, and when you learn of its commands, you begin to discern, this is what God wants of me. As you apply it to your life, and as you apply it to your circumstances, the Lord promises you, I will show you the way that you must go. And that requires great patience. When we want to make a decision, we're just ready to open the Word of God, and we want the first thing we read to tell us all the answers, don't we? We want that chapter that we read for the Lord to tell us all about it, and to get us going, and to get the ball rolling. The Lord sometimes says to us, you need patience, you need prayer, you need to come to my Word and discern what my mind is in this situation. There is that lesson. We must always step forward knowing the mind of God. Another lesson we learn here is that there is a corporate effort needed. See the contrast again in Joshua 7:4. It says, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. You see, there are 3,000 men. In Joshua 8:1, look at the difference. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed, take all the people of war with thee. Israel had gone before Ai, and they imagined, well, we don't need everybody to defeat this foe. They are smaller than Jericho, whom Israel had just defeated. And so they imagined, well, we can just send a few thousand men. Not everybody will have the labor in this one, and we'll give some other people some time off. And the Lord comes and he says, I don't want 2,000 or 3,000 men. He says, I want all the men of war. He's essentially saying, I don't want just some branch of the army to go forward. I want everyone. And I don't care how small or how insignificant AI is in your sight. I want all the men of war. I want a corporate effort. The Lord challenges us so much this morning. He challenges his people with regard to the cause of his kingdom. And the cause of his church here in Six Mile Cross, sometimes we're all too happy for other brothers and sisters to bear the burden and to bear the load. We're happy to come to the meetings, and it's wonderful to come to the meetings. We're happy to go to the prayer meeting. We're happy to do all of these things, but then we're happy just to take a step back. We say, well, we'll let so-and-so do it. They always do it. And yet we have to ask that question this morning then. What are we doing in regard to labor for the kingdom of God? What are we doing for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? We can come to the Lord like Moses and we can say, well, Lord, I can't speak. We can come with all types of excuses before the Lord. Here's a challenge to us this morning. We can all pray. We can all do that, every one of us. Pray in our heart unto the Lord. We can all ask somebody to come to the gospel service, can't we? What I want to emphasize to you, brothers and sisters, we can all be doing something for the work here. We can all be involved in some way or another. Don't get into a place where you're coming Sunday by Sunday, you're disinterested, you just come, you do your thing, you walk out, you go home. Let's get our heart into the midst of this work. Let us be those who labour for the kingdom of God, every single one of us. Every one of us. And let's become labourers in the vineyard of God. The Saviour says in John 9:4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. The Saviour says, I must do the will of my Father. I must do the work that he has sent me to do. I must speak the words that he has told me to speak, and I must die the death that he's told me to die. He says, because now is the time of opportunity. What a great warning there is to the church here. He says, the night cometh. There's going to come a time in our lives where we can no longer work. Christ will come back, and Christ will set up his eternal kingdom. There's coming a time when no man can work. And so let us work while it is day. Let us labour while we can still labour. The second thing I want you to see about this text overall, I want you to see the worship that ensues. What did Israel do as they defeated Ai? They worship God. Verse 30 to 31 says, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings." You see what happens here? There's an altar. There's offerings. There's the law of Moses. There are all of these things here as a picture of a worship service. Israel come before God, and they celebrate, we could say, the blessings of God upon them in praise and in offerings. And of course, this is something Moses had told them to do previously. It says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 29, and these are the words of Moses, "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal." Moses had told them to do this. He says, when you come into the land and when you come into these two mounts, that is a time where you set yourselves aside for the worship of God. And he says they're to pronounce blessings and cursings. And what does that mean? Well, verse 34 of Joshua 8 tells us. It says, "And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law." What did Joshua do? He came to Israel here. And he reminds them of the covenant that they're in with God. And he says here, "Here are the blessings if you walk in obedience." He says, "But if you fail me, here are the cursings." He pronounces the word of God at Mount Gerizim and Ebal. Something that we do in our lives, and we must do, is take time to worship God. Worship him in the Lord's day. Worship him as families, as men would lead their homes. We must be a people that worship, because when you think of your life, when you constantly come to God and you realize that he has been gracious to you, when you realize that he is a God to be adored and to be worshipped, how do you respond to such revelations of grace and of who God is? You worship him. You bless his name. That is the proper response that God wants in our lives when we have these wonderful revelations of who he is. He wants us to praise him with all of our hearts. And that must be our response, to offer up not the sacrifice of burnt offerings as we see here, or peace offerings as we see here, but the sacrifice of praise. That's what God wants here this morning. He wants the sacrifices of praise unto his great and unto his wonderful name. And this ought to be our chief desire then, that we respond to all by praising him. That's how you ought to respond to the word today. By walking in praise and obedience to God and all that he has revealed to you. This ought to be then our chief joy. To set ourselves aside in the Christian walkway and to offer up those praises and that worship to him. This is why we come to the house of God. This is why we desire to come to the house of God. Surely that's why you're here this morning. If you're a Christian, you're here to worship. In Hebrews 10:25, we see these words. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." And you see this assembling together. Just as Israel had assembled here according to the command of Moses, we assemble here according to the command of God. Church is not just an option, it's a command. And God calls us here by command to praise him and to worship him. It's important to see that in our lives. This is not just an extra. The morning service is not an option. The evening service especially is not an option. It's a command. And therefore, if we forsake it, we forsake what God has commanded us to do. There are some of God's people who cannot be here this morning. They're not well, and that's perfectly acceptable. There are some people that just simply physically cannot be here. They cannot. But those people, of course, can avail of the online broadcast, and what a wonderful means it is for them. But that is not for God's people that can be in the house of God. Online broadcasts do not replace the public place of worship. They do not. And they must not. And if we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, sitting at home and watching the broadcast, we're living in disobedience to God. God is not pleased with that. He is not pleased with it. So let the Lord challenge me. Let him challenge you this morning. Let us always ensure when the doors of his house are opened on his day that we're in our place and that we're here. It's a wonderful blessing to come here. Look what it says in verse 35 of Joshua 8. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the woman and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. You see such a gathering here. We see the men, we see the woman, we see the children there. We see the servants. They all come and they gather in the presence of God. And look what it says. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not. That is the supreme blessing of the house of God. What a blessed thing it is to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And week by week, as men come to preach here, I promise you this, they will not withhold one word that God has said. They will preach to you all the counsel of God. And you will hear his words, and you'll hear his blessings, and you'll hear of his wondrous name. They will not withhold one thing. What a blessing that is. To sit under the preaching of God's word. Brethren and sisters, let us reevaluate in our hearts where we're at with regard to this. Let us view the house of God as a great blessing to us. To come and praise his name and to sit under the preaching of God's precious word. If we forsake this, I promise you, you will grow cold. You say to me, I want to live a victorious Christian life. It starts here. Starts in this house. No one can go forward if they're not sitting under the preaching of the word. They're not being taught on all of these things. This is a basic, this is a fundamental principle. Let us, as I said, reevaluate. If we haven't been doing that duty as we ought, well, let us start today. Let us start today. Let us get to a place where we look and we see, I must be in my place. I want to praise God. I want to hear his word. Let us step forward in victory. Let us step forward out of sin and out of failure. Walk with God according to his will as a people together, ready to labor for the kingdom, who are ready to worship his great name and to hear the whole counsel of God. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this morning. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Bow together in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord now to bless us as we part one from the other. Father and our God in heaven, we do rejoice for the great revelation of thy word and of thyself. Father, how can we but praise thee when we consider all that thou hast done for us and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee that Christ has died. We thank thee for a perfect sacrifice. And Lord, today, if there be any and they're in the service, they're not saved. Oh Lord, I pray that thou would speak to them now. I pray that thou would work in their lives and work in their heart. May this be the first day that they can look to God and respond to his mercy and grace by the exaltation of his name. Lord, I pray for thy people today. Pray you'll bless them. Pray you'll encourage them. Pray, O God, that you'll help them to live those lives that are well-pleasing in thy sight. Undertake for us now, part us with thy fear and with thy mercy. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.